Help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. As a father shows compassion to his children, so the Lord shows compassion to those who fear him. For he knows our frame, he remembers that we are dust. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. This is God's word. Sherry, we give to you our deepest sympathies upon the death of your dear mother, Fred and Lydia, Hannah. We love you all, and we bear your grief with you, not quite like you do, and there are days of heartache yet ahead that are unlike any that you've yet had. And we want you to know that we rejoice in the grace of God that we saw in Larry Pelletier, especially in two ways. Her endurance in the faith. If God gives us all the grace to not turn aside from faith and worship of Jesus Christ in our old age when our body is failing, that would be a great gift. It would be enough. We saw this in our sister. We saw her endurance in the faith. We saw her continue to receive the ministry of her pastor, her elders, and chiefly the ministry of the word on the Sunday. And the second thing we saw is that Sherry, you and Fred made a home for Larry. You received her into your house, and you would probably say that you received far more than was taken from you by having her there. But this was a grace in both you, her daughter, and her, for a mother and daughter to live together into old age is a work of God's work, God's grace in the heart. And so we praise God and thank him for the grace to you to honor your mother by caring for her needs, shuffling her to doctor, going with her through great trials of the body as she had to go again into a hospital. And we are all blessed by having seen it. And we praise the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost for his work in our sister and her family. Beloved, let us understand that we are here today to honor God. We are here today to exalt the Savior, Jesus Christ. We are here today to be led and guided by the Holy Spirit. Let us pray together. Almighty and gracious God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, you alone are our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Lead us, O God, we pray, to put our trust entirely in you. We come to you in the name of your only begotten and well-beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, who died for our sins and rose from the dead. Grant us, we beseech you, through his precious blood, peace and pardon and joy in the Holy Spirit. And seeing that we have in him a great high priest who can be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, we come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help us in this time of our need. We thank you for the precious promises of your word. We praise you, O God, for the light of the gospel. We acknowledge your sovereign will and your infinite compassion. Be pleased, therefore, to look upon our sorrow, the sorrow of this family, and for the sake of your dear Son, to grant us the consolation of your Holy Spirit. And we pray that you will enable us to hear your holy word so that through patience and comfort of the scriptures, we may have hope. Grant to us, too, that we may hold fast our confidence in your forgiving mercy and the blessed assurance of eternal life. We ask these blessings of you, our Father, through him who bore our sins in his own body on the tree, who rose from the dead, and who is exalted at your right hand, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Redeemer. Hear us now, O God, as we pray according to our Lord's own teaching. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Let us rise and sing a hymn to God. Number 233, your songbook is under the seat in front of you. Please rise. 233, O Father, you are sovereign. Congregation of the Lord Jesus Christ, what is your only comfort in life and death? That I am not my own, but belong with body and soul, both in life and in death, to my faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. He has fully paid for all my sins with his precious blood, and has set me free from all the power of the devil. He also preserves me in such a way that without the will of my heavenly Father, not a hair can fall from my head. Indeed, all things must work together for my salvation. Therefore, by his Holy Spirit, he also assures me of eternal life and makes me heartily willing and ready from now on to live for him. Amen. Let us hear God's word from Psalm 90. A prayer of Moses, the man of God. Lord, you have been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever you had formed the earth and the world, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. You return man to dust and say, "Return, O children of man." For 1,000 years in your sight are but as yesterday when it is past, or as a watch in the night. You sweep them away as with a flood. They are like a dream, like grass that is renewed in the morning. In the morning it flourishes and is renewed. In the evening it fades and withers. For we are brought to an end by your anger. By your wrath we are dismayed. You have set our iniquities before you, our secret sins in the light of your presence. For all our days pass away under your wrath. We bring our years to an end like a sigh. The years of our life are 70, or even by reason of strength, 80. Yet their span is but toil and trouble. They are soon gone, and we fly away. Who considers the power of your anger and your wrath according to the fear of you? So teach us to number our days, that we may get a heart of wisdom. Return, O Lord, how long? Have pity on your servants. Satisfy us in the morning with your steadfast love, that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. Make us glad for as many days as you have afflicted us, and for as many years as we have seen evil. Let your work be shown to your servants, and your glorious power to their children. Let the favor of the Lord, our God, be upon us, and establish the work of our hands upon us. Yes, establish the work of our hands. This is God's word. Let us sing of this mighty God. Rock of Ages, Cleft for Me, 452. Please rise again if you are able. Let us sing to God.
Thank you.
Congregation, it is now God's will that you hear how you might hide yourself in the Lord Jesus Christ. For he is a hiding place. He is the shelter. He is a refuge. And he calls all men today, on the occasion of a death, especially on that occasion, he calls all men to seek refuge and shelter in the Son of God, Jesus Christ. Hear it now. Please be seated. Our scripture reading for the message this day is 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 and 14. Brothers, we do not want you to be ignorant about those who fall asleep or to grieve like the rest of men who have no hope. We believe that Jesus died and rose again. So we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in him. Let us pray. Our gracious God, we pray that this word of yours to us, your people, to us gathered here for this funeral service, would be words of might, that they would be words of light, that they would be sharp words, that they would be good words, that they would be a seed that you plant within us. Oh, Lord God, you are worthy to be believed. You are worthy of all our love, all our life. Oh, grant us, O Lord, to see that we can give unto you nothing more, nothing greater than what we have already been given in Jesus Christ. Give us ears to hear these things, to your honor, to your glory, to your praise, before all the angels of heaven, in Jesus' name, amen. It is the wonder of God's saving grace that a woman can leave this world and go on to a better inheritance than she ever had while in this world. It is a wonder of God's saving grace that a man, a woman can die and go then to their greatest inheritance. Because of Adam's sin, we all enter the world as children of wrath. The scripture says this in Ephesians 2:3. God does not lie. By nature, we enter this present age guilty before God, under divine condemnation, lusting for the things of the earth, and we will soon be buried in that which we craved. But this is not how God first made man. This is not why God first made man. God made man without sin. God made man in true righteousness and holiness. Man, though a creature, was made in the beginning without corruption, not a child of wrath, but a child of love and blessedness. Man was made to walk with God, and for a season man did walk with God. Man was made to rise up even higher into the beauty, into the blessedness of God's heavenly glory and fellowship forever. But man did not rise. Man fell. The head of the human race, the first man, Adam, disobeyed the holy and living God, the Creator. As the scripture says, one trespass led to condemnation for all men, Romans 5. It also says, by the one man's disobedience, the many were made sinners, also Romans 5. One trespass, one man, enormous ruin, a history of death. How could one man and one trespass wreak so much havoc on the race of men? Because one act of betrayal against the living God, the eternal God, one act of betrayal against God Almighty breaks and disables the betrayer. Because of man's defiance against the eternal God, man and all his descendants fell into a state of hostility toward God. We can no longer bring ourselves to love him. We are suspicious of him. We fear he wants too much of us when he says, "Love me with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind." We resent giving him what he asks. This is the power of sin at work in us. It is nothing else. The old New England primer of the 17th century, a book teaching children their ABCs, put it this way when explaining the letter A. A is for Adam. In Adam's fall, we sinned all. Beloved, this explains death. We all enter the world destitute, in debt, guilty, bound for wrath, destitute by our sins and destitute by our very nature. From conception, we are fundamentally opposed to God and unable to pursue him, whether it be a hard rebellion or a cool rebellion of indifference. We are born wholly disabled toward God, constantly falling short of his glory. Our only hope is that God would come to us and do for us that which we cannot do for ourselves. And he has. God has done this. God has not left all sinners alone in their estate of sin and misery. Instead of leaving us forever under the curse of our sin, God sent a second Adam. A second Adam to be a head, a new head of the race of men. A new head who would restore this fallen and cursed creation and bring many sinners into the new creation. Ruined men, ruined women from every tribe, every nation, every tongue, rising up to the glory of God again in God's grace and love. Who is this second Adam? He is the holy and eternal Son of God, Jesus Christ. It is he who came into the world to reverse the curse of the first Adam. At another place in Romans 5, it says, "By the one man's obedience, the many will be made righteous." Christ Jesus is that one man. The one man whose life and whose death makes us forever right with God. Scripture says this of him, "For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of his cross. And you, who once were alienated and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds, he is now reconciled in his body of flesh by his death, in order to present you holy and blameless and above reproach before him." He is the only way out of spiritual death. He is the only way out of physical death. He is the only way out of eternal death. This second Adam, Jesus Christ. He has come because the world was covered in death. When Jesus walked the earth, he went to a funeral service. Nobody expected him to be there. Those who were traveling with him by foot didn't even know that service was taking place. They came around a bend and over a hill, and there in front of them was a small procession. A widow was walking in grief, burying her one and only son. Already having buried her husband, going to the tombs to lower her son into the grave. It's a picture of what has been going on the earth since Adam's rebellion. The whole human race bearing again to the grave our loved ones, again and again bringing to the earth the dead. Jesus walked up to the bier upon which the deceased was laying, and he touched it. And they stopped, and her son rose up from the dead. And Jesus, full of compassion for her in the grief of sin and death, brought her son back to her. This is a picture of why he came, to put an end to the misery of death and its chief sting, which is sin. The wages of sin is death, God says. God's eternal Son, eternally blessed in the divine fellowship of the highest heavens, took to himself a human nature like ours. Why? To bear in a body like ours the penalty all our sins in the body deserve. With his body and blood, he paid our debts. With his body and blood, he removed our guilt. With his body and blood, he now gives all who believe in him eternal life. Being without sin, death could not hold him. He was vindicated, raised from the dead on the third day, ascended into heaven, seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty, coming again on the last day to judge the righteous and the wicked. Jesus now shares his inheritance of everlasting glory with all who hide in him by faith alone. All who run into him and say, Jesus is enough. He even gives to each believer now the Holy Spirit so we can come to him, so we can hear him, so we can believe him, so we can trust him. He even gives us what we need to get started. This is how generous God is and how disabled man is. Everyone who now enters the fellowship of his body and blood will be raised like him and enter his eternal glory. I urge you, take shelter in the Lord Jesus Christ. Outside of the shelter that is Jesus Christ crucified and risen, there is only wrath. There may be pleasant days, there may be many freedoms and a libertine life. Cool indifference may seem the coolest thing. But outside of Jesus Christ, there is only wrath, only death, only destruction. Inside Christ, in his body and blood, is an eternal fellowship of love and glory and blessedness. So this is why Christians speak of hope. All that I have said, there is no reason to speak about hope outside of what you've heard. As Christians, we cast away any kind of hope that excludes what you have just heard. It's not hope at all. This is why we speak of hope, especially in the face of death. Christ has died the death our sins deserve. Christ has been buried in the grave in which we sinners belong, and he has perfumed it because he has raised in power from that grave. On the third day, he left the belly of the earth where all the other dead remain, not him. Our sure and solid hope is that we go where Christ goes. He is before God without sin. We shall be before God without sin. He was raised from the dead. We shall be raised from the dead. He is eternally blessed in the glory of the Father. We shall be eternally blessed in the glory of the Son. Beloved, we do not have hope because every man ever born will experience heaven like men experience springtime, like every man experiences summer. That's not why we have hope, that everybody just goes to heaven. That is not the hope of God's word. It is not the hope that Christ offers with his nail-scarred hands. We do not have hope because heaven is somehow yours just because you were born. No, heaven is not a public park. Heaven is the private garden of a royal family. You must be given an invitation. After the criminal on the cross had been converted by the word of Christ who was hanging next to him in suffering, the criminal said to Jesus, "Remember me when you come into your kingdom." Jesus said, "Today you will be with me in paradise." Paradise. A word of Persian origin that means the lush private garden of a prince. The invitation had been given and accepted. Jesus himself was the invitation. Arms opened wide to receive any who would believe on him, even criminals whose family were probably too embarrassed to look at him. Maybe his father too embarrassed to come to his execution. Maybe his friends already erasing any memory that they had an association with him. But Jesus receives the worst of us, and only the worst of us, those who are dead in sin. You can't get worse. This is the Christian's hope. The eternal King welcomes into his glorious home, into his glorious garden, only those who have entered fellowship with his crucified Son. Trusting that the Son's life, the Son's death, the Son's resurrection is the only remedy for our cursed condition. In our reading earlier from 1 Thessalonians 4, maybe you heard it, the apostle said there are people who have no hope, he said. He said, let us not grieve like those who have no hope. He is not saying those who have no hope have a sad psychological condition. The people Paul says have no hope may indeed be very happy and very optimistic about the future. He is saying that from God's perspective, they have no hope. He is saying rather they have no fellowship with the risen Christ. They have no confidence their sins are forgiven. They are still in their sins, in fact. They have not sought fellowship with Christ as God's only Lamb who atones for sin. Those who have no hope are in a sad condition, not psychological, but legal, familial. They are without relations to God's Son. And they have no legal title to paradise because they have not yet come to the Father through the Son, seeking the sinner's only hope. But here again, Jesus comes to them even today on the occasion of the death of Larry Pelletier. And he says to them the most important thing that can be said in the world today. You're hearing the most important thing that can be said in the world today. That Jesus says, come, hide in me. My hope is open to you. Come and take shelter. For those who have entered fellowship with Christ, there is an unbreakable and irrevocable hope. Jesus was dead, and then he was not dead anymore. He was seen by 500. He was touched. He ate fish. He made fish for breakfast on the beach, all after his resurrection. Death could not do with him what it has done to all other men. It could not hold him. And because of Christ, death will not hold anyone who is in fellowship with him by faith. Fellowship with the Savior who loves sinners. Not even death will break that fellowship. So when a friend in Christ dies, like our friend has died, when a friend in Christ dies, we do not look for the excellence in her life. We do not look for the excellence in her religious life, even, to weigh and measure the quality of her hope. What do we look for? Well, we look to what our friend was looking to weigh and measure the quality of her hope. We look to the excellence of the Savior. The very Savior our friend kept fellowship with. We do not look at our friend's performances, religious or civic performances. We look to what our friend was pointing at by her faith. The excellent Savior, Jesus Christ, who took the sting out of death. Years ago, on a beautiful spring afternoon, not unlike today, a boy and his father were driving down a country road. Windows were open, it was beautiful, and a bee suddenly flew in through the open window. This boy was allergic to bumblebees, and it was one. He began to tighten his whole body and yell. The father reached out his hand and grabbed the bumblebee out of the air, put a squeeze upon it, and then released it. And the bee flew past the boy again in the back seat, and he shrieked and tightened his body. And the father said, "Look, look! Don't be afraid. The sting is here." The father had taken the sting out of the bee. And so Jesus Christ says to all of us today, "Look, look here. Look to the cross. I have taken the sting out of death, because the sting of death is sin. And your sins have been crucified. They have received all their due. God's wrath poured not on you, but on his own Son, so that you might go to your death in the joy and peace of the Lord." 1 Corinthians 15. "O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain." Let us pray. Gracious God and Father, without your word, we are lost in the dark. Darkness becomes light to us, and we think we see. We praise you and thank you that you have not left us without your word. We praise you and thank you that our sister, even though she has departed from us, that the occasion of her death has even become a glory to you, by which again your word is proclaimed. Lord, we thank you that her final service to the church is to gather us together to hear that which is best, that which is light in itself, that which casts away the darkness and lets us see who we are in our fallen sin and see who Jesus Christ is in his obedience unto the death of the cross. Oh, Father, we thank you and praise you that you have spoken to us and not left us alone to simply speak to one another. Fasten upon us the good works of your Son. And we do thank you, O Lord, for what our dear sister pointed to, how we looked away and looked with her at the one who is glory and blessedness himself, the one who bore all of our diseases, the one who bore all of our judgments, the one who bore all of our crimes. We thank you and praise you for the Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us rise and sing Blessed Assurance. You'll find this in your bulletin on the half sheet. Be seated. Revelation chapter 21, the new heaven and the new earth. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people. And God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more, neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain any more, for the former things have passed away." And he who was seated on the throne said, "Behold, I am making all things new." Also he said, "Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true." And he said to me, "It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty I will give from the spring of the water of life without payment. The one who conquers will have this heritage, and I will be his God, and he will be my son. But as for the cowardly, the faithless, the detestable, as for murderers, the sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars, their portion will be in the lake that burns with fire and sulfur, which is the second death. And I saw no temple in the city, for its temple is the Lord God, the Almighty, and the Lamb. And the city has no need of sun or moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gives it light, and its lamp is the Lamb. By its light will the nations walk, and the kings of the earth will bring their glory into it, and its gates will be never shut by day, and there will be no night there. They will bring into it the glory and the honor of the nations, but nothing unclean will ever enter it, nor anyone who does what is detestable or false, but only those who are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. This is God's word. Let us sing again to God. Our hymn to God is number 477. By grace I am an heir of heaven. 477. Let's remain seated. Beloved, let us pray together. O Almighty and merciful God, Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who is the resurrection and the life, grant that we may realize the shortness and uncertainty of human life, that we may live before you in godly fear all our days, pointing and looking for that blessed hope, not our works, not our performance before men in the church, not our performance before men in the world, but our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, his performance, his perfect obedience, his sufferings and anguish, his precious blood in dying, his word to us, Father, forgive them, they know not what they do. Oh, gracious Lord, we pray that even now you would give your Holy Spirit to those without. We pray that you would be not angry with them, Lord, who have rejected your Son even to this day. We pray, Lord, that you would be not angry with them, but count their sins to Jesus Christ and count his righteousness to them by faith, giving them the Spirit so that they might indeed lay hold of him for salvation. And Lord, for this dear family whom we love, we beseech you to comfort those in sorrow, to support them in grief. Raise us up, Lord God. Raise up each one who mourns today. Raise them up from the death of sin unto the life of righteousness, so that we too, when we depart this life, may rest in Christ and at the resurrection be found acceptable in your sight in him, through mercy, mediation, and merits of the Savior who died and rose again. In his name, amen. Beloved, the words of committal, and then we shall sing the doxology. Please rise. For as much as it has pleased Almighty God in his wise providence to take out of this world the soul of our sister, we therefore commit her body to the ground, earth to earth, ashes to ashes, dust to dust, and we look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come, through our Lord Jesus Christ, at whose glorious coming to the earth, the sea shall give up her dead, and the mortal bodies of those who sleep in him shall be changed and made like unto his own glorious body, according to the mighty working whereby he is able to subdue all things to himself. Blessed be his name forever and ever. Let us praise him. Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here below. Praise him above, ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen. Please remain where you are. The family will be dismissed first. There are drinks over here by the wall, by the window, if you need to wet your whistle. Praise be to God. It has been good to worship with you, to mourn with you. Let us remember to be bound to Fred and Sherry and the family in the bonds of love and the bonds of our own strength as they are weak. In Jesus' name.